The Hamiltons have been a real blessing to us, haven't they? God bless them. Well, let's take our Bibles now and turn to Romans chapter 4. I'm sorry, not Romans. That's tonight's message. Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, and we're going to look at verses 27 through 31. The title of this message is Peter's Greatest Failure. Peter's Greatest Failure. Mark chapter 14, verse 27 through 31. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Verse 29, Peter said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be." He sounds pretty confident, doesn't he? There's nothing wrong with wanting to be confident in what you're going to do. But Peter had too much self-confidence in this particular matter. He says, "Assuredly I say to you," Jesus said in verse 30, "surely I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he spoke more vehemently, "If I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said likewise. There's nothing wrong with being confident, but sometimes our confidence in ourselves is what gets us into trouble. And Peter's confidence here was not in what the Lord would do through him. His confidence was in himself, his way of thinking, his way of doing things, what he wanted to do. And this got him in big trouble, as we're going to see. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can read your word today. And even though the Apostle Peter was a great follower of yours, Lord, and we know from history that he ends up dying for the Savior, he ends up dying a martyr's death, crucified upside down because he refused to back down from preaching the gospel of Christ. Yet, Lord, we see in these verses, and we're going to study how Peter had his greatest failure on that night. Help us, Lord, to realize that what Peter did, we each and every one of us could do in some way or another to deny the Lord. Help us, Lord, to learn from his mistake. Help us, Lord, to grow stronger in our walk and our dependence on you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. The disciple Peter had very good intentions when he told Jesus that he would never desert the Savior. And as we are studying Mark chapter 14 as a part of our series on learning lessons from the life of a fisherman, we're studying about the life of Peter. At first, in Mark chapter 14, it seems like Peter may actually keep his word about staying true to the Lord and not deserting him. But as we progress through this chapter, we realize that eventually Peter says some things and does some things that spoil his good intentions. And instead of demonstrating his loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ, he experiences the greatest spiritual failure of his life. And it's a warning to all of us. The Bible says, if any man thinks he stands, take heed lest he falls. Notice that in verses 27 through 31 of Mark 14, that Jesus pre-warned all of the disciples, and especially Peter, that they were going to experience this failure in their life. But Peter doesn't believe it. And he tells Jesus, even if I have to die with you, I'm not going to deny you. Well, we know what happens, though, in the Gospels, that when they came, and Peter, of course, takes a sword and tries to fight off the crowd, and he ends up cutting the ear off of the high priest's servant, eventually they all flee and run away. And that includes the apostle Peter. They all fled. But then Peter, after he initially runs away, he realizes, I'm about to do what I said I would never do. And so he turns around and he tries to stay as near to the Savior as he can, but at a distance. Take a look at verse 53, if you would, in that same chapter. It says, and they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes. But Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and all the council sought testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. So many bore false witness against him, but their testimonies did not agree. And here we see that Jesus is taken into the home of Annas. Now, Annas is the father-in-law of the high priest. He had formerly served as the high priest of Israel, but when the Roman government took control of Jerusalem, he was removed by the Roman government as the high priest. And so then they put his son-in-law in charge as their appointed high priest. And so they take, though, Jesus to the home of Annas first. And their goal there is to find some false accusation, some reason that they can put him to death, because Jesus had now become a threat to the religious establishment of that day. And so Annas questions Jesus about his disciples and about his teachings. At one point, one of the officials of Annas comes up to Jesus and slaps him in the face to try to get him to say something that was not true. And then nothing could be done. And so they then take him to the house of Caiaphas, who was that son-in-law, who was the high priest. And the Sanhedrin had also gathered together there, and they're trying to come up with a reason, some kind of a trumped-up charge to accuse him falsely so that they could put him to death. They even get some false witnesses there to testify against Jesus, but the problem was they didn't collaborate their lies ahead of time, and so none of the testimonies would match up with the others. The high priest even charges Jesus with blasphemy. You read in Mark chapter 14 and verse 65 that they mock Jesus, they spit on his face, and they began to beat him as well. It says in verse 63, then the high priest tore his clothes and said, what further need do we have of witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? And they all condemned him to be deserving of death. Then some began to spit on him, and to blindfold him, and to beat him. and to say to him, "Prophesy." And the officers struck him with the palm of their hands. And so as Jesus is going through this horrible ordeal, Peter is there, and Peter is watching this take place as Jesus is being, not only was he being hit upon and spat upon, but they were obviously seeking to put him to death. Peter is taking this all in. But then somebody spots Peter. A servant of the high priest sees Peter and he stops him and begins to question him. And at that moment, Peter denies the Lord for the first time. Look at verse 66. Now as Peter was below the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And when they saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also are with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you're saying." And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. And so here is this servant girl. And remember now, Peter had cut off another servant of the high priest. So by then, the word had spread among the servants of the high priest. Look out for Peter. He may cut your ear off. And so this servant girl sees him and she says, "Hey, you're Peter. You were with him." And he immediately denies the Lord. He denies the Lord by saying he didn't even know who Jesus was. And he wasn't even aware of what she was talking about. And so then Peter says, "I've got to get away from here." So he goes over to the porch, which would have been the main entrance into the house. And he's trying to get away from that young lady who seems to recognize him. But then go to verse 69 and 70, and you'll see that the servant girl comes back again. And she asks him again that and points out that this is one of the disciples. Look at verse 69. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, "This is one of them." But he denied it again. The servant girl not only spots Peter, but she starts to go up to others and say, "I think this is one of those disciples of Jesus. And here he is right in our midst." And Peter simply denies it again. But if you keep your finger here over, keep your finger here in Mark chapter 14, turn back over to Matthew 26. Remember now that the Gospels are all carrying this account of the trial of Jesus. So there's parallel passages, and some of the Gospels give some details that other Gospels do not bring out in their account. And here in Matthew's account, Matthew 26 and verse 72, we find out what Peter actually says during this second denial. Turn to Matthew chapter 26. And verse 72. But he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." This time, Peter does something a little different to try to persuade them that they were misidentifying him. He takes an oath. Now, what is he doing here? Well, in the days of the Bible, in a legal setting, if you wanted to verify that you are telling the truth, you would take an oath. We do it in a way today when somebody puts their hand on the Bible and they say, "I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God." That is, in a sense, what Peter does in this second denial. He is taking an oath before God in front of these servants that he doesn't even know who Jesus is. And so he denies the Savior the second time, and he takes the name of God in an oath in the process. But then it gets even worse. Now go back to Mark 14 and look at verse 71 and 72. And now Peter denies the Lord the third time. It says, and a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it. Peter must have been talking to someone else. We know also from the other Gospels that the Apostle John, the disciple John, was there, because John's family was actually friends of the high priest's family. John had been in that home before. And so John comes and he's there too to witness what's going on. And perhaps Peter was speaking to John, or it could have been someone else. But by his speaking, the crowd around him, the group around him, could recognize he had an accent, and they recognized that it was a Galilean accent. And of the 12 disciples, 11 of them came from Galilee. By the way, do you know the only one that didn't come from Galilee, who it was? It was Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot was a disciple that was from Judea. That was the area that he lived in. But the Galileans had their own accent, and so as Peter's speaking, somebody recognizes the Galilean accent, and he puts two and two together, and he says, you've got to be one of their disciples, because after all, most of them are from Galilee. And so what does Peter do now? This is his moment of truth, isn't it? Remember what he had said earlier? He says, if everybody else denies you, I'm not going to deny you. He says, even if I have to die with you, I'll never deny you. And so now here is his moment of truth. Two times he had denied the Lord, but now they said, no, you're a Galilean. We know you're one of those disciples. And his moment of truth came. It was time for him to take his stand as a follower of Jesus Christ. And he had already said, no matter what, I'm going to do it. But what does he do? He gives in to his fears at that moment of truth. Every one of us here, at any moment, could fail our Savior and end up by our words or by the way that we act or by our attitude or how we treat others, we can end up denying the Lord too. And do you know where that trigger usually comes? When we're afraid of what might happen if we do the right thing. And the right thing for Peter would have been to say, yes, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. But in his moment of fear, and that's where we will be most tempted to deny the Lord, is in that moment of fear, he denies the Lord. But look at how he denies the Lord. It says in verse 72, then he began to what? To curse and to swear. Perhaps he thought, if I talk like somebody that doesn't know God, if I talk like somebody who doesn't know Jesus, maybe they'll believe me. And he begins to curse and he begins to swear. And he says, I do not know this man of whom you speak. But something happened. It says a second time, the rooster crowed. Peter reacts in verse 72. Look at how Peter reacts. The second time the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And when he thought about it, what did he do? He wept. Peter remembered. He had a reaction of his mind and his memory. He thought about what Jesus had said earlier. And he mulled it over in his heart and in his mind. He reacted with his heart. It says, when he thought about it. And then he reacted with his emotions. When he thought about it, he wept. And by the way, I think these were genuine tears of sorrow. I don't think Peter was crying because he was sorry he got caught in the wrong that he did. I think these were real tears, the beginning of his repentance. He was already owning up to the fact that he had failed the Lord. There are some important lessons here for us to learn. The reason why Peter's failure speaks to all of our hearts is that we all sense our ability to deny the Lord in different ways. Sometimes we deny the Lord through our words. Sometimes we deny the Lord through our actions. Sometimes we deny the Lord through our attitudes. But in some way, we end up telling others, I'm not really following Jesus. I'm not really living or speaking or acting like somebody who knows the Lord. And is it possible that somebody who truly knows the Lord can do that? Absolutely. Absolutely. It's our spiritual pride that keeps us from humbling ourselves and admitting to our own spiritual need. And it was Peter's pride. He thought, I'll never deny the Lord. What was it? Go all the way back now to the garden. What was it that Jesus urged Peter and James and John to do? What was it he went three times asking them to do with him? What was it? To pray. And I don't think that's a coincidence that three times he said, you need to pray, and three times he denies the Lord. Did you ever think of that before? Three times. You see, we have to prepare our hearts for the spiritual battles and the struggles that you and I face. And the way that we prepare ourselves is that we need to regularly get on our face before God in prayer and say, oh Lord, help me not to deny you today. Help me not to deny you in the way that I act. Help me not to deny you in my attitude. Help me not to deny you in what I say and what I do. Help me to not deny you today. And Peter didn't watch with the Savior, did he? And so he wasn't ready. And it shows up. But also, the words of Christ were there to warn him and to help him. Jesus told the disciples again and again, you're going to deny me. You're going to deny me. If only they would have taken those words more seriously. God has given us His Word. And as we spend time in this Word each day, it will give us the strength that we need to say no. Thy Word have I hidden in my heart. What's the rest of it? That I may not sin against Thee. And Jesus gave them His Word again and again. But Peter wouldn't believe it. But the good news is, like Peter, Christ continues to care for us. even in the midst of our failures. Another gospel says that at that very moment, when Peter denied the Lord the third time, it tells us that Jesus looked over at Peter. But I don't think it was a look of condemnation. I think it was a look of support. I think it was a look of forgiveness. I think it was a look of caring. That here was this key disciple, a big part of the future of the church, at the moment of his greatest failure, and yet Jesus looked on him. He was in the midst of being spat upon, in the midst of being beaten, in the midst of this horrible illegal trial that he was enduring. He takes a moment to look at his crying disciple, crying because he had failed the Lord. It was a look of compassion, not a look of, I told you so. All of us need to be learning from Peter's example. Don't trust in your own strength. Don't trust in your own power. Trust in his power. Trust in his promises. Go to him in prayer and ask God each day for the strength that you need to live for him and not to deny the Lord. Peter did learn his lesson. Later on in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 7, he wrote this: God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all of your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Peter had a great failure, but even in the midst of his failure, Jesus cared for him as he cares for you and me. Let's look to the Lord for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, would you speak to our hearts even now and remind us that we each day face that danger that in some way we can deny the Lord. Help us, Lord, to stand in your strength. Help us to begin each day in prayer, asking for your help and your guidance. Help us to meditate and hide your word in our hearts so that we will not sin against you. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.